Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Rams Pro Bowl defensive back Leroy Irvin. Let me remind you about Leroy's background. He is from Fort Dix, New Jersey, played his college ball at Kansas, where he's still fifth in all-time interceptions and sixth in tackles. He was a third-round draft pick by the Los Angeles Rams in 1980 and played in the NFL from 1980 to 1990, and all but his last season was with the Rams. He finished up in Detroit. He was selected to back-to-back Pro Bowls in 1985 and 86. He was named All-Pro four times, 81, 82, 85, and 86. He holds the NFL record for most punt return yards in a single game with 207 versus the Falcons back in 1981. If all of that wasn't enough, he also shares the same birthday as my son, and we are very honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Leroy, Chris, and Bob here. Thanks for coming back
nice
on the
to
show.
Have you back.
Hey, no problem, guys. How things going?
Really well, thank you, Leroy. So, Leroy, I'll get your thoughts here on the Super Bowl in a minute, but I wanted to start by getting your thoughts on the NFC Championship game and the non-pass interference call against the Saints. As a former defensive back, what did you think when nothing was called?
Hey, you know something? The offensive guy always gets away with so many pass interference calls. They push off all the time. No one ever cries about that. You know, I mean, the offense, they basically made them untouchable. So, I mean, how's a defensive player supposed to play? And, you know, the referees, they just calls all the time. They grabbed a golf face mask twice. They didn't call that. No one's crying about that. But if the Saints still want to cry about that.
I love it. So to that end, Leroy, we've talked about this with several of your peers, you know, guys who also played defensive back. It seems like based on all of the rules changes, perhaps playing defensive back in the NFL might be the hardest thing to do in all of sports. What's your thought? When you look at how the game is officiated now as a defensive back, it's almost got to seem impossible to cover guys.
It is, and they make it harder and harder every year. You know, offense sells tickets. You know, these receivers run around with 100 catches, you know, averaging 5 yards a catch, and I'd like they're all world. But, you know, in our era, they would get hit and hit hard, and they would get some of those balls up. But now the game is geared for the offensive player. You know, the reason Tom Brady and Drew Brees and all those guys and Phillip Rivers can play so long is because there's no – you can't hit the quarterback. I mean, you know – If you're back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even in the 90s, when the quarterback was a target, you wouldn't play that long. So yeah, the game is geared toward the offense, and they make it especially tough on the defensive back. But they also make it tough on the defensive linemen, because they allow the offensive linemen to hold and do all these kind of things that make it difficult to play defense. But I think defensive back is probably the hardest position in football.
Leroy, let's talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. And I imagine you were pleased overall with what you saw from the Rams defense, probably not so much with the offense. What did you think as you were watching the game?
I just thought that the coach, McVay, I'm not sure what's wrong with Gurley. I just think that Coach McVay made a decision to put the game in the hands of Goff and not the running game. I really think that we got out-coached in that game. I mean, lowest scoring game in NFL history. Our defense, if you would have told me we were going to hold Brady to 13 points, I would have bet everything. Everything. You know, but, you know, we hold the 13 points. Defense played exceptionally well. Offense went the first 8 series without a first down. Put the defense in bad field position early in the game. You know, and they just never really got on track. You know, I think we just never really got on track, and the Patriots just one step ahead of us the whole game.
I have questions for Leroy.
Great to have you back, Leroy. It's always an honor. And we had mentioned your return prowess, and in 81, Chris had mentioned their numbers, which, you know, looking back in history, there's not many who have had a return season like you did, the yardage, the yards per return, the touchdowns, et cetera. But I mean, is that something, Leroy, you did back in college and in high school? I mean, not everybody wants to do that. It's not something you probably were prestige to serve as doing as a defensive back, but no one did it as well as you did. Talk about the returning punts as far as a mentality.
Well, you know, when I went to high school, I was, you know, an all-state running back. And I wore 32, and I thought I was going to be O.J. Simpson. You know, I thought I was going to be the next O.J. Simpson. I used to write letters to John McKay every day, every week about me coming to USC, but they never recruited me. And so I had that mentality of being a runner. But when I got to Kansas, I slowly realized that, wait a minute, my future's not going to be a running back. It's going to be a defensive back, because we had like 7, 8 running backs. We ran the wishbone. There were only like 5 defensive backs. So I decided to move over to defense, and by doing so, you know, the opportunity came to return punts. And so I returned punts in college. I think my senior year, I was 10th in the nation in returning punts. I returned a few for touchdowns, a few were called back. But once I got that opportunity to return punts, you know, run the football again, I took advantage of it. When I got to the Rams, they gave me the opportunity to return punts, and I just took advantage of it. And, you know, back then, you had players on your team who were special team guys. You know what I mean? They were on the team, and they only played special teams. They were backup players, but their main focus was special teams. And I had a great group of guys on our punt return team, and that's probably the reason why I had so much success.
As far as the coaches you played for, Leroy, I mean, Ray Malavasi was there when you got there, and then John Robinson had some success after that. Robinson, to me, always seemed like a very likable guy. Tell us about him as a coach.
John Robinson was a great psychologist. He knew how to talk to each and every player. I mean, he didn't really do much coaching because he had a great staff under him, but he was a great motivator. He motivated us to play hard. He motivated us to play smart, and what a great coach he was. You know, I was very fortunate to get a chance to play for Ray Malavasi, and I was even more fortunate to get a chance to play for John Robinson. So it was just a pleasure of mine to be on the Rams in that era.
And Leroy, sticking with your time playing in the league, you got to go up against guys like Henry Ellard and Ron Brown, Flipper Anderson and Eric Dickerson every day at practice. Was it easier to play in the games than it was trying to cover those guys in practice?
Yeah, because when I started out, we had Preston Denard, and we had Billy Waddy, Willie Miller. You know, we had some great receivers when I started, when I got to the Rams. And then we got Ellard, you know, and then we got Ron Brown, and we got Flipper Anderson. It made playing in the game a lot easier. It was almost like you were playing against Jerry Rice and John Taylor and Clark every day in practice, you know. So, you know, those guys, they really got me prepared for Sundays, and I got them prepared for Sundays.
He also played alongside Hall of Famer Jack Youngblood, and we've all heard about his toughness and playing on a fractured leg in the playoffs. Talk about his work ethic and the influence that he had on the rest of the team.
You know, I can tell you a little story. When I first got to the Rams, I was in awe because of all the LA guys, you know, and the Rams and the superstars in LA, Hollywood. I'll never forget before every game, Jack Youngblood would say, "Don't worry about the mule, just load the wagon." And it got to be where I needed to hear him say that before every game. Otherwise, I got to the point where I just followed him around the locker room just to hear him say that. And, you know, one day when he was getting ready to retire, I said, "Jack, man, I'm not even going to be able to, what am I going to do, man? No one's going to say, 'Don't worry about the mule, just load the wagon.'" He said, "Leroy, it's your turn. You got to say it." And so, yeah, Jack had a great influence on me. He's a good friend of mine still today. And playing with him, I mean, he's well deserving of the Hall of Fame. And he's a John Wayne of football. So it was a great honor playing with Jack, and those are some memorable days.
And Leroy, did you get an opportunity to talk to some of the older great players that the Rams had come through, guys like Deacon Jones or Merlin Olsen, Rosie Grier, some of the guys from the 60s and the 70s? Were they still around to talk to you guys?
You know, I still see Rosie Grier, you know, at quite a few Ram functions and become really good friends with him. I was really good friends with Deacon Jones. We hung out, we played golf, we did a lot of things together, and I sure do miss that guy. And one of my highlights of my career was I was at a Rams function, and Merlin Olsen was standing at a bar, just standing up. He's talking to somebody, and I walked up to him, and I was going to introduce myself to him. He said, "Hey, Leroy, how you doing?" I'm thinking, Merlin Olsen knows my name? There's something wrong with that picture. Yeah, what a great guy Merlin was. And Deacon, you know, they were just great, great, great guys. And you know, and then we have Rosie Greer, who's up in age right now. Just a great man he is, man of God. He's a great inspiration, and just a pleasure. It was a pleasure for me to know them. I knew Jack Snow, you know, I knew Cullen Bryant. You know, I can go on and on and on about the guys who played before me, you know, who I really idolized, like Lawrence McCutcheon, you know, Shaq Harris, I mean, you know, Pat Hayden. I can go on and on and on. But those guys were some great players. I was very fortunate to be around them.
And Leroy, I'm always curious how guys decide what number to wear when they're, you know, when they make it into the NFL. And that was 47 happenstance, or was there meaning behind why you wore 47?
I was a Mel Blunt fan. I wore 47.
There you go.
Because of Mel Blunt. I wore 47 in the pros because of Mel Blunt. And I'm still a big Mel Blunt fan. One of the greatest defensive backs to ever play the game, if not the greatest. And I was very honored to wear that number.
Bob, one more for Leroy before we let him go.
Yeah, sure, Leroy. Your name is synonymous with the Rams, but you played your last year in 1990 in Detroit, Leroy, and you played in every game. You were still playing at a pretty high level, but was it a little bittersweet not being able to play your whole career in L.A.? What was it like to play that final year in Detroit?
You know, I don't think it was bittersweet. I think it was time for me to leave L.A., you know.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 years, the team had went in a new direction. They decided that in 89, when we lost to the 49ers in the NFC Championship game, they decided to rebuild the team, you know, with younger players. And a lot of the guys who I started my career with were gone. Cromwell was gone. Johnny Johnson was gone. You know, Gary Green had retired. You know, and so now the secondary was Jerry Gray and some new guys. You know, so it was time for me to get out of there. The Rams, you know, after 10 years, not a Super Bowl, they had to go in a different direction, which cost them really a lot because they were not successful in 1990. 91, 92, and 93. So I guess I got the last laugh.
Leroy, before we let you go, how can our listeners stay up to date with the great things you're doing and follow you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Well, I'm on Twitter, LA Rams 47, but I'm really involved with the Eric Dickerson Foundation. Do a lot of work with Eric, you know, and his foundation. We're putting on a free football camp and cheer camp at Camp Pendleton this summer. I'm involved with a lot of different charities. I don't have a foundation of my own, but I do spend a lot of time with various charities, helping young kids, mainly. And, so that's what I do. I'm on my way to Mexico now because I have a house in Mexico. I stopped to get some sushi and I had to run out to the car, talk to you guys, and my sushi's inside the restaurant. Probably getting cold, but it's already cold.
Well, we appreciate it.
We certainly appreciate, yeah, the sacrifice of the time, Leroy. Thank you for being a part of the show. It's always a pleasure for Bob and I to get to spend some time with
love
you.
Talking.
Hey, Bob and Chris, man, love you guys, man. Good luck to you guys the rest of the year. Hopefully we'll talk again.
Absolutely.
Yes, we will. Take care, Leroy. All the best to you and your family.
Bye.
That is the great Leroy Urban. That Mel Blunt fan. I love that, Bob. I was hoping that was the reason behind it. It was great to hear him say it.
Yeah, he again, it was such a pleasure watching the old Rams play. And again, I just take it back to that return year of 1981. He was one of the best to ever do it. People forget that. You know, you think of Devin Hester's, you think of all these guys that return kicks,
yeah.
But Irvin as a defensive back, there was not too many better back then.
We've got our next guest, Greg Lloyd, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Greg right on the other side of this quick station break.